Well, then you were appointed to the Long Beach Redevelopment Agency. The date I have would be May 1962. Can you tell me something about the background of a redevelopment agency and what happened with it?
Yes, maybe I can go a little bit before the time of the appointment and do some recalling that might be of benefit to you. The subject of urban renewal began on a national basis in the late 50s, attempting to do something about rehabilitating the basic slum areas of the major cities in the eastern seaboard, but moving on the federal level across country. In my business experience as a mortgage broker and then later subsequently a mortgage banker, I was always upset by the fact that because of the zoning in the city of Long Beach, there were areas that were basically redlined by the Federal Housing Administration and the Veterans Administration because the areas were not zoned for residential use exclusively, and yet they were housed principally by the low-income people. And as a result of that, a group of us that had similar interests, and most of us were involved in realty interests, investment interests in Long Beach, many of them from the Long Beach Board of Realtors, began to meet as an unofficial committee to discuss these things. Many of the meetings were held at my company office at First and Elm in the evenings, and we would talk these matters over. And besides realtors, there would be builders there and other mortgage lenders and people interested in doing something for in the way of affordable housing. As a result of that group, we began to press with the Planning Commission and the City Fathers the establishment of a new general plan, a master plan for the city of Long Beach that laid out the long-range type of development that we wanted in the city. And, of course, what happened was that this inner city was zoned commercially and principally housed by minorities of low income, using it as one and two family, possibly up to four family housing, and yet there would be a junkyard next door or a barbecue or something of this nature, and this would prevent these people from getting reasonable financing for their homes. They would end up in the hands of high money lenders, second mortgages, third mortgages, at terms that they couldn't afford. And so from this group, we began to press the city council to do something in the way of urban renewal. At that time, there was also a great deal of concern in the city of Long Beach regarding an area called the Jungle, which was an apartment house of area located west of Magnolia Avenue and south of Ocean Boulevard, which has since been developed and into what we have called Ocean Gate, and now some additional an additional name used for it. As a result of that, I believe those people that were basically deciding the destiny of the city of Long Beach, trying to make long-range plans, began to recognize that urban renewal could be of some use to them in doing away with the jungle and redeveloping downtown Long Beach. The city council, in turn, voted to establish a redevelopment agency, and Mayor Ed Wade approached me and asked me, because of my previous interest, would I consider being named to the commission and be the originating chairman, which I gave some thought to and felt that although it was not meeting the primary goals that I had set out for, that it would be a stepping stone towards solving those goals, and so I accepted the appointment and the chairmanship.
Who were some of the other men that you met with early on prior to this?
You mean appointed to the agency or people early?
Early on, and then who were some of the others appointed to the agency?
Well, the original group, one builder was a fellow named John Webster, a realtor, past president of Long Beach. Both of these men, past presidents of Long Beach Board of Realtors, Arnold Berg, now deceased, Jim Odegaard, a realtor investor here in Long Beach, Harvey Miller, who was the owner of the New Robinson Retirement Hotel and other hotels throughout the state, who was active in the real estate in Long Beach at the time. There were bankers, I can't recall their names at the moment, and a number of other mortgage men. There were appraisers that saw the problems. A fellow now deceased had an interest, Arthur Maspel, J.C. Hoffman. His sons are still active appraisers in town, and they had some interest in it. As for the agency itself, the laws as to who the appointees are fairly strict, and generally speaking, there is only one real estate lender, and there's a member of the public, and another representing the minority housing group. And so Mayor Wade made a fairly good decision in that early group. As I recall, George Trammell, an attorney in town who had formerly been the city attorney, a friend and neighbor of mine, Jim Thurman, who knew Ed Wade. Both of them had been condemned out by the city of Long Beach on the west side when the harbor was expanded, and therefore Ed felt that Jim Thurman would have better knowledge as a citizen of having gone through condemnation. Wayne Hall was very active in the labor affairs in the city of Long Beach and in the harbor. Tom Forrester was a naval architect, had a naval shipyard, and had been the West Coast manager for my first employer, Bethlehem Steel Company. And I believe one other.
Those were the names that were listed in the paper for that first meeting.
Five, right. Okay. Subsequently, there were some resignations, and there were other people that the mayor appointed to the committee that continued working.
How long did you stay on the redevelopment agency?
You don't have one when I resigned.
No.
I believe I stayed on the agency until either 65 or 66 when I resigned. My business was expanding and requiring more of my time as I changed from as I incorporated and became an active mortgage banker, and I found that I needed to travel more to sell mortgages in the secondary market, and so I asked the mayor to relieve me of the agency appointment.
Well, then, what were some of the activities of the redevelopment agency while you were on there? What was the situation with the jungle?
Well, unfortunately for the agency, and that was a decision that I had to decide whether or not it was meeting my goals, and the agency had one authority, no other authority, and that was to look at the jungle. That particular area of property could not go outside of that area in any of its studies whatsoever. This way, the city fathers and the people that were controlling the destiny of Long Beach were holding their thumbs on exactly what was to be done. We made our studies, the staff was broadened, and it basically amounted to taking the ownership of the properties within the jungle, and we found many absentee owners who were not too concerned about upgrading their property in any way. merely receiving the income. Some of them did not want to even think that the city would condemn their property through the redevelopment agency, and they would be forced to move. There were others eager to have their property condemned as soon as possible so that they could move on elsewhere. The reason the property, the area was called the jungle, was because so many destitute people lived in the area, either in their apartments or in the alleys or around the properties, basically what we call winos, some of the first drug addicts, people mentally disturbed, and they were creating the biggest problem for the police department. But that was some of our reasons for study. The agency was aware of a California state law that provided that an agency could issue bonds which would provide that when the property was redeveloped, that the tax base would be set at the date of the condemnation or the date set by the agency when they made their declaration, and any taxes above those taxes would go to redeem the bonds. So under that basis, we became the first agency in the state of California to go privately without the use of federal funds. This was one of the other instructions that we had from city council, is if at all possible, try to do condemnation without the use of federal funds. The first step that was necessary, of course, would be to obtain an estimate of the market values of the properties. Well, the first go-around was basically some fairly realistic attempts to set what the value would be when an appraiser was employed. It might be unfair to use the word that is sometimes used as a guesstimate, but the agency had to have a place that it began working towards figures, because we in turn had to then determine what type of bonds that would be needed to be issued, whether there was a market for the bonds, we'd have to have bond counsel. And so these were things that the agency considered. The agency in the beginning met on a fairly regular basis. I believe more than twice a month, but traditionally it was twice a month on regular agency business, but in the beginning there were meetings of a urgency nature to consider specific items before we moved to a large agenda. Once it was determined that it was feasible, if there was a market for the bonds, that the opinion was that the bonds would be tax exempt, and that the dollars that we could sell would be adequate for compensating the owners for the taking of their property, we voted to proceed, and the city council supported us. We in turn had to make our recommendation to the city council and approve. Many of the owners were satisfied with their appraisals. There were many that were not. Many of the properties went to arbitration. Many of them went to court. In most cases, the appraisals, as I recall, were fair and were substantiated by arbitration or by the court. I have forgotten the date that the first property was started to be taken down, but there was a period of time which the people were allowed to be relocated, and property stood for a while, boarded up, but then we began a process of demolishing and clearing the site. The properties were studied, the total site was studied as to a development plan, and we had to have outside advisors on that, meeting all the criteria that the state law set for what we would do. I recall the most difficult property that we had to deal with was the own your own at the corner of Magnolia and Ocean, because of the many property owners therein, many of them objecting to having to relocate, being quite vocal, and I'm trying to think of the, at the moment, of the name of that own your own, but it was probably the tallest building in that particular area and probably the best maintained, and there were those that probably would have liked for it to remain within the project area, but it was decided after much study and outside counsel that that was not the way to be successful with the project.
Well, then, what you're saying is that that jungle area was primarily residential area.
Yes.
Or residential area, maybe going back a long time. And so, who made the determination then that it would then become a commercial area, such as I see it now with bank buildings and office buildings? So,
we had outside consultants that studied the property and made recommendations to us. That is one of the steps that's required by law. The agency itself can't just make that decision. You use outside consultants who in turn recommend to you the highest and best use of the project after its development. For instance, within that project was a public park, which the city in turn had to vacate once the projects were decided as what the highest and best use was. The city did vacate, and it became part of the project. Well, that was advice of one consultant alone. There were other ideas that were developed, and then the agency in turn had to determine which was the best plan to proceed on, and then the agency had to have public hearings also and then make their recommendations to the city council as to how to proceed.
And then the council would be the ultimate.
Yes.
So that area now, I guess, would be the area that has the Wells Fargo.
Yes.
And the other building?
The Twin Towers, which ARCO Transportation will be moving into shortly. Harbor Bank has just been finished alongside of what is the extension of the freeway that leads to Golden Shore, I believe they call it. The California Trustees building is in the area, and the Union Bank building, and that particular area there.
So it was thought that area would be greater asset than make that a commercial area, obviously.
I think the consultants and their recommendations recognize that the proper use of it would be to a higher density on a high-rise basis, because the density is quite was very great on a low-rise basis as a jungle, but the idea was to go to high-rise and have some open space and still have a high density, and that the rentals from those higher densities in turn would bring greater revenue both to the city on the tax base once the bonds are paid off than what the jungle was actually costing the city, more than the taxes that they were taking in just for the police protection that was necessary there. So that we were seeking the highest return both to the city as well as to the property.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, that area is adjacent to where the pipe was, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So were you involved at all with the redevelopment agency in the...
No. We had some... The individuals on the agency had had some personal conversations with members of the Long Beach Amusement Company, who owns the Pike, they had their own plans for development, and they wanted to know in turn what we were studying, what was being recommended to us, so that they could look towards a common overall plan for development. But at the time I was on the agency, there was never any time that we were considering taking any action against the Pike.
Well, then I think once you left the redevelopment agency and you became more involved in your own business activities, you also became more involved in mortgage banking associations statewide and nationally. Can you tell me something about that?
Well, yes, about that time I had been asked by a president of the Mortgage Bankers Association of America to take a committee chairmanship, and which in turn started taking more of my time and travel along with my marketing, and from there I was chairman of a number of committees and was ultimately named to the Board of Governors of the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, and as of this date still serve on the Board of Governors. We meet 3 to 4 times a year, generally in the East because of New York being the financial center and Washington, D.C. being the legislative center, whereby they attacked or work and discuss, not necessarily attack, but look towards those items of the legislation that affect the real estate lending and financial markets in New York City. I also became active in the California Mortgage Bankers Association and became its president in 1978 year. I was also active at that time while I was president of the California Mortgage Bankers Association in the successful passage of a proposition within the state of California that amended our usury laws. I'm still
Proposition
2.
And what was the result of that proposition? I mean, what did the proposition say?
Basically, it removed the old ceiling of 10% maximum interest rate for real estate loans, but those loans made by other than a an institutional lender, which actually was meaning a bank and a savings and a loan, which were under the supervision of the legislature. The Proposition 2 law passed by the people provided that a licensed real estate broker, a loan made and originated by a licensed real estate broker, was no longer subject to the 10% ceiling. There's certain loans that are still subject to the 10% ceiling, but the majority of all business done in California since that time has been done under the amended proposition, the passage of Proposition 2, which amended the civil code. And generally, it came at a time that interest rates nationally were far in excess of 10%. California was being deprived of funds coming to California because of our archaic usury laws. Unfortunately for us, interest rates in the economy got extremely high during the subsequent years. They are now trending back down, and business is moving quite well at the moment, but during the last 2 years, interest rates just got to the point that the economy was stagnated.
Well, when part of your activities done with these state and federal associations, then it does involve political activities.
Yes. I sold my mortgage company 4 years ago to a Texas firm and have remained as a consultant with them, principally dealing in governmental affairs.
and I believe that you received a governmental appointment yourself just today.
Yes, this morning I received a personal phone call from Governor Duke Majan asking me to be the real estate commissioner, and I said yes, and I believe the public announcement will be forthcoming next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Then, aside from these activities, you've been involved in other philanthropic activities in Long Beach, certainly with the YMCA.
Yes, I'm presently the chairman of the board of the Greater Long Beach YMCA. I will now find it necessary to ask that they find someone else to take that position at the coming annual meeting because of the real estate commissioner's appointment. But I will continue working on that board and possibly on some boards or some committees on a statewide basis because of my interest in youth. I just attended the YMCA's Youth and Government Program in Sacramento, where they use the role model and have done so for 35 years. And I'm quite impressed with the young people of this country. I think it's just fantastic the things that that they're doing today.
Well, were you instrumental in rebuilding the Los Altos Y? Were you involved in that?
Yes, my wife and I have been members from the beginning. My wife has probably done more campaigning than I did in raising funds. I supported her, but I was also building my own business at the time, and my activities and the Y came about through the Metropolitan Board, which governs all of the branches.
And then I believe you also were active at Los Altos Methodist Church and helped in the construction of that.
Yes, I was the original president of the trustees that began the construction of Los Altos Methodist Church.
And community hospital.
Yes, I'm a trustee there and of the Long Beach Community Hospital Foundation, and hope to be able to continue to be of some help there, even though I'm going into government service.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your taking the time to